Switzerland last month agreed to the first extradition of a top official of football's world governing body, FIFA, with more extraditions expected. And the Swiss are proceeding with their own corruption prosecutions against FIFA bigwigs. The cases could take years, though in the meantime, FIFA's head Sepp Blatter may no longer be at the top of the organisation if he carries out his promise to resign early next year. Back in 2003, Professor John Sugden co-authored the book Bad Fellas, FIFA Family at War. In our Sydney studio today, I asked him if the title of his book implied that FIFA operated like a mafia.
Well, it was, because it started with a kind of a historical and organisational analysis, but the closer we got to the self-style, as they call themselves, the FIFA family, the closer we got to that family as we burrowed within, if you like, the entrails of the organisation, we realised they operated more like a mafia family than, if you like, an honest sporting body. And so that's why we selected the term Badfellas as a deliberate inversion.
So what are the parallels? For instance, not paying any tax.
Yeah, well, lots of corrupt under-the-table deals. Well, you've seen it all coming out, particularly with, you know, the lots of the charges are to do with the selling of television and marketing and media rights. And a lot of the people who are in the frame to be charged are not just the FIFA officials, but senior corporate officials in media marketing companies, because that's where a lot of the financial deals were done.
But one thing that they have that the mafia have never had and would probably envy is an almost diplomatic status. They behave almost like a quasi-state.
Exactly.
They're able to move around the world without necessarily obeying all the laws and, in fact, sometimes overriding the laws of the countries in which they land.
That's right. It's because they operate, as you say, almost like an offshore state with not the same kind of constraints that other organisations have to operate under. And because they have this precious commodity, which they believe is at their disposal, this the world's most popular game by far, individual nations and individual rulers are quite happy to kowtow to the likes of Sepp Blatter and those that came before him, Yao Avalanche, and treat them like royalty. This is why they've been able to operate without the same constraints as even the mafia. Although it's interesting to see that the FBI or the team of investigators they put on the FIFA case have been equivalent, if not in excess, of the guys they put on the serious racketeers in the American mafia. So they've treated it exactly the same. And in fact, in September this year, there's a museum in Las Vegas called the Mob Hall of Fame. The Americans love their sporting hall of fame, so they've got a Mob Hall of Fame in Vegas. And in September, the FIFA exhibit opens, entitled The Ugly Game.
So Sepp Blatter will be in Las Vegas's Mob Hall of Fame.
Well, we'll see. Interesting. The one of the remaining questions to be answered is, will Sepp Blatter eventually himself end up behind bars? My sort of answer to my own question is, it depends what happens when those that have been extradited already realise the seriousness of the charges and face the prospect of the rest of their lives behind bars in an orange boiler suit in Sing Sing in New York State's federal penitentiary.
So it depends on whether people roll over, as
Say. Well, they've already started to roll over. I mean, the whole case really was broken open by one of the officials, Chuck Blazer, who was persuaded to wear a wire by the Inland Revenue Service.
So he agreed to have a microphone on his key ring.
He did. So during the FIFA meetings in around the times of the Olympics in London in 2012. And that's really what started the whole investigation. But also, many of the other top FIFA executives, I've basically said Jack Warner amongst them, Jeffrey Webb, who were all looking at the charge sheets thinking, I'm not going to take this rap. I'm going to start to sing. If this can buy me some time on my sentence, otherwise they're going to die in prison.
Has Australia been complacent in all of this?
I think Australia, like England, have been naive in this. You know, because Australia was one of the bidders for 2018 and 22 World Cups, as were England. And I don't think Australia, like England, or they should have known better, knew quite what they were coming up against when they, you know, went to bat with FIFA, because FIFA was a corrupt regime. And again, it was all out in the public domain. But it's one of those situations. How do you win a corrupt game? Well, you become more corrupt than everybody else. And I think Australia, to its credit, and England, to their credit as well, just refused to go that way. And even though their bids were amongst the strongest for those competitions, You know, that was never going to count. How good your facilities were, how many you had, how many people played the game, was going to make no difference, because we all knew in the background there were crooked deals being done under the table that you were never going to beat.
And Qatar, what's that going to be like? Well, is it inevitable, first question?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, I've gone on record elsewhere saying the decision to give hosting rights to the World Cup to Qatar in 2022 is the worst history in the governance, world governance of sport in modern sport, in modern times. There's no doubt about that. What a ludicrous thing to do, to take the World Cup, you know, particularly in the traditional time of year that's played, into a country with no tradition of football, no facilities of any real description, and with searing heat and temperatures when the game can't be played. It was absolutely ludicrous. The problem that we've got at the moment, both with Qatar and to a less but similar extent with the 2018 World Cup in Russia, there's no doubt in my mind that both of those bids were rigged and were corrupt.
But they'll both go ahead.
Well, both, because there's a moral debate, there's a legal debate, and then there's a practical debate.
There are people agitating for Qatar to have it removed. It's not going to happen, though.
Oh, well, who knows? I don't know. I think it possibly should be removed. And if so, there are people such as, for instance, Australia, who are capable of hosting the World Cup, because, you know, you have the facilities, but you wouldn't have to start building.
But barring unforeseen circumstances, Moscow will definitely go ahead.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Although the latest noise out was that when the draw was made last week, and to pile ludicrousness on ludicrousness, Vladimir Putin at that ceremony suggested that Sepp Blatter should be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, which is almost as ludicrous as saying that Vladimir Putin should be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize.
Professor John Sugden, co-author of the book Bad Fellas, FIFA Family at War. He'll be speaking tonight at the FIFA in Crisis Symposium at the University of Technology, Sydney. You can hear my full interview with him on our website later this evening, or by going to our Twitter feed and listening to the SoundCloud.